Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 356 of The Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Yes, another wild Wednesday. Well, I guess it's technically it's Thursday. But I got to finally got around to a guest, and my guest today is none other than Richard Peacock, former Western Hockey Leaguer, SJHL, BCHL, and West Coast, Richard was great to take time out of his day and share some of the wild stories and the wild ride, and some crazy stories, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. We almost talked for 2 hours, so I'm not going to I won't talk long here on the intro. We'll get into it. No one's tuning in to listen to me anyway. But I want to, again, at the top of the show here, I want to thank Richard for taking time out, coming on the show. I want to thank my boy Yuko in Finland for all his research, and he did a bang-up job. And thank you, sir. You make my life definitely a lot easier. And yeah, and I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen. If you're on social media, Fourth Line Voice on Facebook as well as on Twitter, and also on YouTube. And I reference my YouTube channel a couple times in the interview. You know, we have some stuff with Richard, some of his fights on there, as well as a Wade Belak Rocky Thompson fight that he talks about from the Western Hockey League. So it's Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. Please subscribe to the channel. I have over 2,000 videos on there. All the different leagues. So whatever league you're looking for, I got some fights for you for sure. And if follow me on social media. And if you're not on social media and you want to get a hold of me, my email is at hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Drop me a line. And if you're on social media, my DMs are open, as the kids say. Is that what the kids say? I think so. But yeah, other than that, we do this every Wednesday and Sunday. And going forward here in 2024, I'm trying to get back on track in my regular schedule. So I had said in an earlier episode that I'm looking to do a Wednesday show will be an interview show, and Sunday will be kind of my solo ranty show, where we do lists, or I yell out the window at people, or, you know, some foolishness of some sort. But if it's your first time here, please, I welcome you to check out the back catalog. I've done a lot of great interviews with John Morasty, Steve McIntyre, Marco Cefalo, Jeff Odgers, Chris McAllister, on and on. Check it out. And, I think you'll find something that you'll enjoy, and I hope you, put the Fourth Line Voice in your regular rotation going forward. But, how about I shut up here? Let's get out of here. Let's get to Richard here. So here is my interview with Richard Peacock, and thank you very much for tuning in, and enjoy, and we'll talk to you cats again on Sunday. Thanks, guys. All right, here on the Fourth Line Voice, I got a special guest tonight. Former Western League and Saskatchewan, West Coast League. He's been a few places. We're going to talk about all that. Richard Peacock is on the phone. Richard, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, my friend.
Excellent. Well, man,
also known as the Peacock.
The Peacock. Well, the Peacock, hopefully, you had some wild times, man. And, you know, we were talking about it off air here for a little bit, and I talked to a few of your former teammates, and they shared some stuff. So we'll get into all that. But You know, and like what I do with these player interviews, obviously you've got to timeline your career, go through from start to finish, but you know, got to start in the beginning. Where were you born and raised, and where did you play your minor hockey?
Enderby, British Columbia.
There you go.
North Okanagan Kings. I did play in my minor hockey in Hunter Mile House.
Oh, yeah.
Which in Pee Wee's, there was hitting and there was full on fighting. We would spin our helmets, man. Like it was, those northern boys are tough. And then we moved to, we moved to Enderby here, and people couldn't believe what I was already able to do because I've already been hitting. So I came to Enderby first year bantam, and I was just smoking guys, right? They just couldn't believe it because I've already been hitting for a few years, man. And I was fortunate enough to play with the junior B team when I was in bantam as well, kind of a, you know, dual card. And the team was awesome, and I was 15, the youngest player in the league, I guess. But I also wore a mask, you know, a full mask. And now that was the best thing for an upcoming hockey fighter, bro. Guys would pick a fight with me. I'd just light them up. It hit me in the cage, right? I was perfect. So that's how I became to be able to throw them that good. I just, you know, it was genius.
Now, So obviously you start with the, you know, you're playing junior B in the KI in the Kootenai League there, the North Okanagan Kings, like you said.
The jungle, bro.
Jungle B. Because of course back then, folks, like, well, you had the cage on at 15, but at 16 there, you go have, and you could fight back then in that league. I know now it's taboo, but I mean, back then it was crazy. Were you always an aggressive kid though? Like, did you take any boxing or fighting or anything, or like?
Well, funny thing is, I was having a hard time in school, and my mom was wondering, well, what the heck can I do to settle this kid down? And you know, just like any rambunctious kid, you got to put them in a sport, man. You gotta occupy their mind, and you gotta physically get these kids to wear themselves out, or they're just going to be a menace. So my mom put me in hockey in it, and that's because I was aggressive. And the thing about it back then was you're allowed to take your aggression out back then. And it was good for me. Not so much good for the other guys on the other end, but you know, I did it at least with referees watching. So, you know, it wasn't that bad.
It was a controlled setting.
Controlled.
Unfortunately, going through on your 16-year-old year in the KI, I couldn't come up with any, couldn't find any stats, but I'm assuming you probably did you do a fair amount of fighting as a 16-year-old? Not least.
Well, here's what happened. I broke my ankle.
Ah.
And so, I was pretty well out of the whole season, to be honest with you. So I really didn't play that many games. I don't remember even playing. I know I got a spiral fracture when I was pivoting backwards, and that was a shitty year. So, I think that's part of the problem there.
Well, and for the KI League, there was another former or a future NHL tough guy that was in that league at that time playing at Spokane named Scott Parker.
And I scrapped him back then.
Yeah, the big man with the Spokane Braves. How'd that fight go?
The big man. Well, shit, man. I mean, you know, he didn't have that killer instinct yet, I don't think. So it was, you know, he probably tuned me in. But, you know, I was also, I think, a year or two behind him. And also, also I was the youngest kid in the league, so I didn't look that bad, right?
Yeah. They well, and yeah, well, that's well, I mean, obviously your paths would cross with Scott Parker again a few years after that, but
yeah,
leading up to that though, so like 95, 96, 17 years old, you end up in Saskatoon, yeah, playing for the Saskatoon Blades of the Western Hockey League. How did well, obviously they invited you to camp and everything. How did that all come down to Saskatoon? Did you get taken in the Bantam draft?
I didn't make the Bantam draft. No, I don't know if I would have made it. I know I got signed with Red Deer, and then I went to the camp when I was, I believe, 16. Yeah, I guess it would have been that summer. And then I don't know what happens, whether they drop you and then someone else picks you up. Anyways, I believe there was some, you know, some avid scouts around this area and got me a tryout, and I just started fighting guys. I started, you know, fighting Phillips and Rempel and they're tough guys. Wow, up and coming, you know, pretty, of course I didn't fight Belak, but, yeah, good thing it was at, training camp in the show, but, I watched my first couple of games that when I made the team is that, I watched Belak and Rocky Thompson go at it, man, toe to toe.
Yeah.
And, I tell you that you could hear them fucking smack at each other. It was, you know, it was an amazing sight to see, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's a great fight. And for those listening, if you want to see that fight, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, check out my YouTube channel. I have that fight, Belak and Rocky, yeah, at Sass Place. Hell of a tilt. Yeah, it's a good one. Well, like, so you roll into Saskatoon, you have a bunch of fights in camp. Don Clark's the coach, Wendell Clark, Kerry Clark's older brother, Don. Were you at 17, were you surprised you made it? Like,
I was surprised, bro. I had no idea that I just really didn't know what to expect. I didn't know anything about the higher leagues. I didn't really pay attention to hockey at that point with, you know, NHL and, the Western League. I just didn't know a whole lot, but what I did know is I knew, you know, who Wendell Clark was, and Don Clark, you know, really, you know, he threw out Wendell Clark a lot with me, and, you know, you try and be like Wendell, and I was fortunate enough to win, lockout was, and or even maybe he was holding out for a contract increase or whatever. He came to camp for, man, he was there for weeks and weeks, and he worked with me a little bit, man. It was pretty cool, inspiring thing that happened to me, and it kind of woke me up to what's possible and really started to train. And, you know, I let Wade beat me up at practice a few times and, you know, really trained with the best. I mean, I don't know how many guys off that team made the show, but it was unbelievable to be able to be a part of that big of names. So, yeah, it was a good start with my hockey career. But again, you know, when you come back the next year as a vet, and I got cut right in camp, man. I didn't even make it to the first game. And, you know, I was in amazing shape, but I think I was in too good a shape. I was a little bit light, you know, I shouldn't have been, but you go over all the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and, ultimately I got cut and went to North Battleford, and, you know, I met some pretty amazing people along the way, especially, Craig Billick, and he's just a good friend over the years. But, you know, I was not when you get cut from a team like that and you think you're going to be on your way, it really, again, fucks with your psyche, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's, so, yeah. Well, I want to back up, though. Before we get into Battleford and everything, yeah. I just want to talk about Saskatoon for a sec. Okay, so you're 17, you're in the friggin' Western League, you play 63 games, 70 PIMs, pretty tough team, pretty tough Blades team. You have Bielak, you have Jeremy Schaefer, Clark Wilm. He throw down if he had to, Greg Phillips, like you said, Ryan Bonney, you had guys like that, Corey Sarich. And then DL and Bantam were unbelievable that year. I mean, Mark DL, 159 points that year, 61 goals. Frank Bantam sets a team record, 83 goals, 152 points. Clark Wilm had 49 goals. Butch Jakowski had 80 points. The one thing I will say, being in Saskatoon, going to a lot of those games, it was unreal. For all the talent that team had, you guys were not that good. You finished.
I was just going to say, bro, what the fuck? You know what it was? I think it was DLZ because he was just such a man. He just fucking, he was just not right in the head. I think he was more negative than anything, and he maybe steered people the wrong way, if I were to take a guess, but I don't know. I liked DLZ, but no one else did.
Yeah. Well, how'd you get along with Bantam?
Oh yeah. He was, he's one of those fucking guys where you sit down and you're looking at this guy. He looked like a 35-year-old biker. He's fucking just jacked. He had tattoos. He's just a stud. And you're just like, holy fuck, this guy's awesome. So yeah, no, I love that guy.
I was always surprised with Bantam that he never got a more of a shot in the NHL.
Yeah.
He's up with Anaheim, the one 21 games, scores 9 goals.
Right.
Never plays in the NHL again. Like, are you serious? Yeah. One could use him. Like, I don't know. Who knows? You know how hockey is. Political, maybe piss someone off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
political. If I were to take a guess, him being that big of a stud, he probably banged the coach's daughter or something.
You never know. You never know. But
he did something wrong.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, way back when on this show, I had Clark Wilm on this show. He was a great guest, and he had 49 snipes that year too. And then Corey Sarich had a great NHL career, and of course the late Wade Bielak. And I mean, obviously the listeners of this show, obviously we're, a fourth line voice. It's a tough guy show and whatever. Do you got any stories that you could share about Wade Bielak?
Oh man, he's just, so we go into, not Red Deer, but, Prince Albert. Going to Prince Albert we get in this big brawl, and it's me and Bielak, we're tuning some guys up, and that's kind of one of the first fights that I got in the Western League, and against that team, and we get on the bus, and I hear, "Hey Pico, come back here." So I sat with him, and he just wanted to know my story, man. He wanted to know who I was, what I was about, and then after that, just me and him were buds, man. He always, was always looking out for me and just always showing me the ropes. We would work out a lot, me and Bielak and Rempel, mostly. And he just was a stand-up guy, man. Fuck. And it turns out his mom was a principal at the school in North Battleford when I ended up going there. So, just a fucking great guy,
Yeah, he was. So. Yeah, he was. I was going to say, especially, you're 17, you're coming in the league. I mean, at that point, I mean, what you're there for. And, you got to make a name for yourself and everything. And, how was Wade with you? Like, was he really, did he really help you out? Like, hey, watch this guy, or that guy's a lefty, heads up with this guy. Did he kind of give you a lowdown on everybody?
I wouldn't say that. We never really, you know, I don't think he really, I think he knew how tough he really was. And then nobody, you know, I don't think nobody really even intimidated him out. He just was good to go with anybody, anytime, anywhere. And he, we didn't really talk, but after practice, you know, I'd be like, hey, fuck, show me some moves, bro. Like, what, you know, like, what do I do against a guy like yourself that being so, I think he was like 6'4". So,
yeah,
you know, he really had some advantage. So me and him would scrap after practice, play fight, and he'd show me some shit and, you know, smack me a few good ones. And we had quite the competition in drills where everyone would kind of let off, but I would fucking fly at him. He just loved it. Absolutely loved it. And it would get everybody fired up at practice too. And, you know, it would set the tempo for the practice and everything when I would just go in and fucking try and hit Bielak as hard as I could. He just loved it.
Well, and of course, being the Western League in the 90s, every team had their share of guys. And, of course,
fourth line,
oh yeah. Well, and, one of the teams I wanted to ask you about, cause you had a bit of a thing going, of course, Saskatoon and Regina always have the rivalry going. And I know there was some line brawls and everything else. And I read a bit of an article about a guy, in Regina, old Josh Dobbin. He didn't like you very much.
I knew you were going to bring this fucking guy up. Oh yeah. Old Doughboy.
Dobber, yeah, he didn't like you, and he claimed that you didn't like him. And I know you guys fought your first year, and then you fought in the preseason, I think, too. And he was a pretty tough dude, though.
Yeah, he's a tough dude, and he fucking got the better of me. The only fucking time I've ever took one off the chin, bro, honestly, it's the only time I've ever took one off the chin and rattled me, but I got up and finished the fight, but, you know, he got me down to one knee, but when we both went to the SJ afterwards.
Yeah.
And, apparently in his, book, in his, do you know what I'm talking about? In the yearbook. So he put, knocked Richard Peacock into the SJHL or some, he fucking wrote something like that. I thought it was funny, but I'm like, you fucker. And he wouldn't fight me because I believe he was in Melville, and when I was in Yorkton, he wouldn't fight me. And, so that was disappointing.
He was an Estevan. Yeah.
Oh, Estevan. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I ended up running the goalie and again, and they never did shit about it. But it was funny that he wrote that. But
Dobbin, yeah, Regina had a tough team, man. They had like Jared Adams and Bouvier and Boyd Kane and all those guys. And I know you guys had a bunch of run-ins with them.
Oh, for sure, yeah. That would have been the rivalry, for sure, yeah.
You know, and then you just, like, go down the road, and then you got Brandon, you know, and they had Dingman back then, right? And, like, Wade Redden.
Fucking Dingman.
Van Owen.
You know, like, the cool thing about being a rookie with all these guys, bro, is I got to watch these guys, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to watch, you know, the really fucking big, powerful, amazing dudes go at her. And also, like DLZ scoring fucking 100 points or more, and it was pretty cool. You get to visually experience something that maybe some other people wouldn't. So I think that's beneficial down the road, and when you actually get to play.
No, absolutely, and. Well, like you said, you go through your first season there in the Western League, and then, like you said, unfortunately, you know, you come back to camp the next year and kind of get cut out of the, you know, at that point, did Don Clark say anything to you? Like, did he kind of, like, what was their, just they were going a different direction? Did they, or it's just like, beat it and not much else?
Yeah, there wasn't, you know, I would have thought he would have been a little more respectful of the of me leaving, but you know, like that's the name of the game, man. They can't, you know, if they had a heart towards every fucking decent guy out there, then you know their job's going to be pretty short lived too. So, you know, what I remember out of it is just. To tell you the truth, I don't know. It's just all shock, right? You're a young kid. Just think you just get crushed, man, by the world. So
yeah,
and it really, well, it turned out awesome when I 2 years down the road, where you know I came back and played for Prince George, because it made me into the player like. That I always wanted to be, as in just a loose cannon and just actually can play hockey as well. So, you know, when I went to Saskatoon, I was just fucking going out there and skating around with no stick, basically. You know what I mean? I didn't know what I was doing, so. But
you're 17, just still trying to figure it out, right?
Exactly, bro. Yeah.
Well, I know the next year, though, before you get to Battleford and everything else, you actually played 3 games in Seattle.
I got a tryout there.
Yeah.
You know?
Don Knackbauer was the coach. And,
That's right.
Patrick Marleau was there. Tyler Willis and Paul Ferrone and Chris Thompson and Kuznick and Tony Mohagan.
Yeah.
They had a really tough team, man.
Yeah. Thompson there, what a fucking maniac that guy was. That's a guy that maybe I'd like to know if he's alive these days.
I could tell you he's a chartered accountant in Prince Albert.
No way.
Yes, he is. Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep.
That guy was fucking Looney Tune. I love that guy. It was pretty cool to watch. I got a good, you know, back then, bro, you know, what people don't realize is you ate like shit. You drank, they shoved all this Gatorade shit down your throat, and it's all sugar. It's all garbage. And, you know, I felt when I went to Seattle that I couldn't get my legs. I was so lethargic, and I didn't have a good shot at it, as you know. And I blame jet lag and bad diet, because you just don't know any of that back then. So you know, I scrapped a couple of tough guys in Seattle. I forget who, but it was a pretty interesting 3 games, man. I was hoping I would stick around, and the way they do things down there is they videotape, they cut all the vids for on the bus, and they do the highlights of the game and any fights or goals and, you know, the certain plays. I mean, so you watch it as a team and you're cheering, and it was a really cool experience. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That was a tough team back then in Seattle. Well, like you said, so after Seattle, you actually end up with North Battleford in the Junior A in the Saskatchewan Junior League.
Right.
Was that your, like, you know, of course, well, I guess after Battleford, you do actually end up back in BC in the BC League, but was the SJHL, like, going to always be where you went first? Like, how'd you end up in North Battleford?
Right. So, I believe Battleford was affiliated with Saskatoon. So, they, you know, like, Don Clark you know, he, now that I remember back, he said, give it a little bit down here, fucking get your shit together, you know, score some goals, beat some people up, and fucking maybe we can get you back. So they gave you a bit of hope at least, and so I think that's why I went there, and it was the closest, I believe, one of the closest cities to Saskatoon, but I'm not entirely sure. But
yep, Battleford's an hour away. Yep.
Oh, okay. So I think that had a big part with it, and maybe you knew the coach and that sort of thing. So that's how I ended up there. And I was debating, should I go back to Vernon? Because I knew Troy Mick, and they were associated with North Okanagan Kings. So I was talking to my old coaches, like, what should I do? But I thought I would have an opportunity to go play back with Saskatoon if I went to North Battleford. So I gave that a chance. But what ended up happening, I really got a second wind when I went to Seattle and was like, I'm fucking better than this, which in my mind, I was, but in reality, I wasn't. But, you always got to have that ego and try and, try and get to the highest level you possibly can. And that's the way it should be in all sports, man. You're just trying to, you're really just trying to conquer the world. And however that looks like, you're going at it, man.
Yeah. Well, and so 96, 97, we're in North Battleford. You play 33 games, had 10 points, 254 minutes in penalties. So you were busy.
Oh, yeah.
But like we said before we got going, back then, for the folks listening, the SJHL was Thunderdome, man. Like, you had guys that were insane. And speaking of insane, I have to ask you about this guy. And he's kind of a legend on these. I've had a few guys on that have told stories about him. But I need to ask you, there was a cat in Nipawin named Calvin Crowe that he had 700 minutes in penalties that year. 50 games, 723 minutes, Calvin Crowe. 50 points, too. It's got to be. That's the most penalty minutes I've ever heard. Did you end up fighting Calvin Crowe?
I didn't, man. I was hoping I fucking wouldn't have to tell you the truth. I don't even know if we matched up. I don't think he played even when I just maybe he was injured or just didn't play or I didn't play. Our paths did not cross. I remember that. And I was not happy about that, so it's... Yeah, I heard nothing but crazy stories about this fucker, and this guy was terrifying to people that were upcoming in the league for sure, man.
Well, yeah, then of course Melfort had Shane Zimmer, and another guy that in Prince George, he was in Kamloops, Mark Scott, who you ended up fighting. Yeah. Like four times one year at Prince George. Did you guys have like some personal thing going on, or that's just how it worked out?
That's just how it worked out. Yeah. Actually, funny thing was that, in the playoffs when we were playing, Kamloops, we ended up sitting in the stands and I was looking at him like, hey man, you're sitting out too. And it just got a little bit closer each fucking period. And then I started bullshitting with him. And, the guy, we're all in it together. It's just that the war on the ice is so intense. You're made to hate everybody. It's a bizarre thing, man. I got to say that, you got to have that anger towards somebody that didn't do a single fucking thing. So you gotta mentally be able to stir up a fight over nothing and be able to do that all the time. I mean, it does something to your psyche, bro. No, there's no question about it. But like for me, it was, you know, I was getting in shit at, you know, outside of hockey. So that stuff didn't really fizz me as much, but you still had to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and for those, folks listening on North Battleford at the time who played with you, of course, your leading scorer was Travis Clayton, who went on to play a long time in the minors, for the minor league folks that are listening. And, Blake, hey,
love that guy. And yeah, Blake Shields,
yep.
You're going to say, or Shane Blake.
Blake Shane. Yep.
Yeah. What a beauty. Well, you know what that guy's up to?
I don't.
Yeah. I'm going to guess jail.
Sitting
in a laugh, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, you had Kent Gillings and Nathan Lutz, and yeah, you guys had a pretty solid team. I was going to ask you back then, and of course, Minot had a team in the SJHL. Did you have to make that trip to Minot?
Exactly. Yeah, I did. Now, they were in the Manitoba Junior, yes?
No, they were in the southern part of the. No, they were in the SJ, but they were in the South Division. They the Minot Top Guns. Yeah, they didn't play for very long. They folded, but I know that year that you were there, they were playing. But I think that was their last year in the league that year.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Yeah. I know. We played a couple of preseason games with the Manitoba League, or even in the States. It was. I forget the names. Anyways, I remember going up to these rinks way up fucking north, man, and they would have screen, you know, mesh for glass, and you know, like the fans weren't afraid to throw their fucking beer at your head, you know.
Well, as we talked about before, of course. As everybody that played in the SJ knows, that first trip up to Flim Flon is a legendary trip in that old barn. What was your, do you have any tales from Flim Flon?
Oh, man. Well, to tell you the truth, we were whooping them. It was embarrassing. It was like, fuck, man, I want to say at least 13-1 or something. I don't even know if they even scored any, and the coach in the third period is like, you guys better expect some shit to go down. So you better be there for each other. And I really don't think anything went down, to tell you the truth. It was we just whooped them and got the fuck out of there. I think they were bottling the bus as we left, but that's about it.
Yeah. And well, then of course you had LeBret there. You had to, you know, and they always the Eagle Dome there, and they on the reservation, and they always packed the place, and they always had tough guys. And of course that year, that year that you were there, of course John Hewitt, the late John Hewitt, played there. 29 right. Here, folks, listen to this: 29 games, 402 minutes, and penalties. There you go.
I've seen that. Holy shit, man, that's awesome. I need to backtrack and go and say the rivalries in the North Okanagan Kings in Enderby here in the KIJHL with Revelstoke Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Back then, bro, there were, you know, we would brawl these guys, and we would get police escorted out of there, and one year or even one game, they beat the snot out of a bunch of our buddies in the stands, and then they proceeded to beat up the bus with baseball bats, and someone shot at the bus. A bullet went in and went in one of our defenseman's legs. Word of a lie, man, that happened.
And they want to talk about today's rivalries. Come on.
Yeah.
Nobody's shooting at anybody anymore.
Yeah, shooting blanks.
Yeah, but you get your junior B, you had like the whole, like, slap shot, the whole thing going there.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, while we're talking here, do you ever punch a fan?
Well, okay, so I ended up in, after Battleford, I went to, well, I actually came back to Enderby and played for the Kings for a bit because I just didn't give a shit. I just,
well, okay, before, I hate to cut you off, but yeah, like you said, you got suspended from, like, what happened to Battleford? Like, what, why did you get, did they suspend, what did you get suspended for?
Yeah, see, I just wasn't feeling comfortable there, and my coaches from back home were really, like, hey, man, we kind of need you. What do you think about coming to play, you know? And then we'll get you on to the Vernon Vipes and then get you. They already knew that I was going to have a tryout in Prince George because he had a scout already scouting me. And I wish I could remember his name because he's just a solid fucking dude and he helped me out a lot. But I ended up going back to Enderby and playing a few games. And I mean, I just dominated physically and then ended up going into the Vipers. So we go into Merritt and there is a brawl and the fans started coming in into the hallway, man. So I'm lighting these fans up, man. Fighting, I don't know, like it felt like I fought at least 5 fans just fucking going at her, just knocking out all these people. And then I got suspended from that. And there was also another time in where I hit a fan with my stick that was yelling at me and just kind of fucking fingering me, and I hit his hand with my stick, ended up breaking his hand, and I got suspended the whole year against the fucking team, eh? So yeah, so that's basically, there's been a few different instances with fans, yeah.
Well, so basically, so nothing really, so you basically just left North Battleford.
I basically just, yeah, left. I wouldn't even say that I just wasn't right in the head, man. I couldn't get back on my feet of who I was, what I was trying to do, and just, you know, so going back home kind of grounded me, I think. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go back home. And because I liked the guys there, the coach, I forget, do you remember the coach there? A young guy, his name was, I forget, but a great guy. So it wasn't anything that really, it was just me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, so you go to Vernon Vipe, one of the marquee teams in all of junior hockey in Canada, but especially in BC. Yeah. Vernon's a big, yeah. They have a great history there.
Troy Mick was a coach.
Well,
Dodging Horse was there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was going to say, because we put up the article today on Facebook and stuff, and anybody that might want to read it and stuff, and you were kind of saying that article is kind of bullshit, because in that article, it says, it quotes you as saying you don't like Troy Mick, and you said that's not true.
Yeah, that was bullshit, man. No, me and Mick were buds. He really stuck his neck out for me with getting me to PG, and he was a fucking great guy. So Ed Dempsey probably put that in there, that fucking weasel.
Well, we'll get to that here in a bit. But yeah, like you said, you got Dodging Horse. Yeah. Corey Davidson. Corey Davidson's on the team.
Davidson, right. Fuck, yeah, Davidson. Smithson, I think, was on the team. Patchell. That guy was pretty cool. I think he played... I think he had an awesome career in college, and
Sean Patchell, yeah, he went on to Michigan State, yep.
Right, yeah. All good guys, and that was a cool rest of my year. I and then, well, I ended up, this hometown guy, Chad Pounder, I played with him in Enderby here, but he's from Armstrong. I ended up getting in a fight with this captain from Trail. And then we went up to this in the stands, and we got kicked out of the game. And then I ended up fighting these guys in the stands and getting suspended. And it seemed to have been something that happened a lot in my career for some reason. It's really unfortunate because it doesn't help your career in any way when you're known as a loose cannon, right?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, I'm just kind of looking at Trail, Travis Roach and guys like that. Did you ever fight or ever run in with Brandon Fleener?
Fleener.
He's in Prince George at the time. Corey Laniak and Langley and Shawara and Chilliwack. Well, Shawara played in PA. You played against him with the Raiders.
Yeah, I scrapped him a few times. Yeah, that guy was tough.
Yeah, he was.
Sure. Yeah, PA.
Yeah.
Just Shawara is the guy I remember the most. I squared up to him a couple of times.
Well, so you end up playing 9 regular season games with Vernon, and then you played in the 8 playoff games and kind of really, kind of got back going. And then, like you said, that next year, 97-98, you're back in the Western Hockey League with the Prince George Cougars.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Seattle and Pittsburgh, big matchup. Seattle's been hot, 5-game winning streak. You can get them at +120. Another one, if you're into player props or game team props, the Canucks, first goal, -150, something to look at as they play Columbus Blue Jackets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, that's code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-6369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
I trained so hard, man. I was ready, I was ready to go. I was training all summer. What helped me out the most is playing road hockey.
Really?
Road hockey in Vernon, man. You get your hands, and I didn't realize I had hands, so no one ever let me fucking use them, so except for scrapping, so I actually found out that I could stick handle and play the game. So, that was a cool discovery. So I had an amazing camp in PG. They had to I knocked out their tough guy, Church. Yeah. And then I think I scored 4 goals. I mean, I was on fire, bro. I, fought Bruff a couple of times.
Tyler Bauk, yeah.
Tyler Bauk, yeah. Bruff, yeah, no, he was also, Bruff was actually in Saskatoon. I got that mixed up.
Well, and for those that want to, if you type in Richard Peacock on YouTube, those training camp fights are on YouTube, of all things. Your Prince George training camp fights are on there, thanks to MC Dusty back in the day. That's what he calls himself anyway on YouTube.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he put your camp fights on there. So, but yeah, Prince George, man, you had like Quinn Hancock leading the way, 54 goals, Blair Betts, Joel Kwiatkowski, Tyler Bauk, Eric Brewer, Trent Hunter. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that team.
All of them made the show, man.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable how many guys made the show that year. Even Schaefer was on the team. I think he played in the AHL or maybe the NHL. I'm not too sure, but he was big, tall, lanky bugger. He was pretty good. Yeah, man, they had to hire me. The camp was just amazing, and the fans started taking a liking to me and then started chanting my name right away, man, the first couple of games, to tell you the truth.
You had 24 tilts that year. We'll go down, and I mean, it's the who's who, man. What, looking at your fight card, and I know I read the article right away, your first fight with Prince George is against a true heavyweight in Joey Tedarenko in Portland. And it says you guys went toe-to-toe for a length of time. Yeah. Do you remember that fight?
I don't, man. Yeah. Fuck, it's too bad. No, I don't. But that's pretty cool that was said about that.
Yeah. Then, of course, while we talked about Mark Scott, you of course, Prince George and Kamloops, you guys had the big rivalry. And, of course, you fought him four times that year. And another guy that was on that team that was a very tough guy that went on to have a heck of a pro career, Mike Brown.
Oh, yeah, Brown. What a character that fucking guy was. He always wanted to beat him up because he just was just that type of guy. He got under your skin, eh? He could play the game as well. So, he didn't like to give you the time of day, but there was a few instances where he had to kind of throw down. So yeah, I had a rivalry with that fucking guy for sure.
First round Brown. Yeah. First round pick. And of course he'll be famous. That's who they traded Pavel Bure for.
Yeah. No way.
Yes. He was drafted in the first round he was drafted by Florida in the first round. And when Vancouver traded Bure to Florida, Brown was part of the trade. First round Brown. Yeah.
No way. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, isn't that cool? Yeah. I mean, I forgot about that, but, it's pretty cool. Yeah. We had quite the rivalry with those guys.
Yeah. I saw the one news clip there last night when I was kind of going through your stuff where it was like you guys had a little line brawl and then you ran their goalie and that really got everything going. Yeah. And that's, I think you ended up fighting Brown. That's when you fought Brown, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So to touch on that, bro, that was actually in the playoffs that I ran the goalie. Eh?
Okay.
So, I know I'm skipping forward here, but this is one of the greatest, I would say, Prince George Cougars stories. Because so we were down 3-1 in the series against Kamloops, and we were down 3-1 in the third period. So I didn't play the whole game, and the fans start in, man, Peacock. They start chanting my name. And the coach is, he's fucking trying to fend it off like he's not hearing it. And eventually he's gets mad and fucking kind of kicks my pants. Get out there, Peacock. So I jumped the bench. And if you see the video, I didn't even have a stick. I jumped the bench and I was just running guys and created a penalty. And I looped around and I believe it was Petruk and he's coming to the bench and I just dropped him. And then all mayhem ensued. But the thing was, is that we came back and won that game. And then we go to Kamloops, win that game. Now I'm suspended for 3 games, so I didn't play those games, but so then we go back to PG and we won the series, bro. That nobody's ever come back to win against Kamloops in that fashion ever.
Yeah, they that's a hell of a story, man. What a comeback, you know.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool, man. I thought it was either do or die on that one, so it worked out to be good, but I'll tell you, the fans are just absolutely amazing.
No, absolutely, and well, like I said, you know, and of course, you know, being out in the Western, you know, the Western division of that, of the league at the time, and I mean, like I said, no shortage of guys, and of course, Kelowna at the time, I mean, they were loaded up. I mean, in terms of toughness, I mean, like you said, you had Scott Parker, Chris Millett, Todd Fedoruk, Justin Jack, in that little shitty rink.
Oh man. Yeah, man. We were in that tiny rink. Yeah. I was fortunate enough. I had some buddies from Enderby here come and watch me, and, I scored a goal top shelf. And then, I don't know if I got an assist, but I'm just going to say I did. I got a Gordie Howe hat trick. I fought Millett that game. So that was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah. They, man, Kelowna, man, they had some toughness roll through that town. And another guy that you fought that, of course, the fans, the folks listening will know that, of course, he went on to have a legendary minor league career was old Yabo, Jeremy Yablonski. Do you remember that fight?
Yeah, I do a bit. What team did he play for?
Yeah, Edmonton Ice.
Oh, yeah, Edmonton Ice, right, yeah. Yeah. Now, did Pete play for Edmonton Ice as well?
Who?
Stephen Pete.
I think he was with Red Deer at the time, I think. Yeah, Red Deer. Yeah.
I scrapped him in preseason, and that was intense.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did that fight with Pete go? I know in reading the one article, he said he broke his thumb or something fighting you, I think he said.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. My head wasn't as big as his, but, you know, he actually fucking threw his helmet at me. like, at my feet, like, what do you got? I'm going to whoop your ass. I did pretty good. I had a few welts on the old noggin there, but, if he broke his hand on my head, then I was doing pretty good.
Well, I know one guy that you fought, undersized, in Medicine Hat, Blair St. Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how that fight went?
Yeah, I believe so. I think, I don't know if it was him or... I think we scrapped right in front of, now it might not be him. Don't quote me on this, but I think it was him or one of his teammates, but we were going toe to toe, man. I was just feeling like I was invincible and I was fucking working him. And we were right by my bench and I turned over and I looked at the guys and just smiled and then just started teeing up, man. That was a cool experience in my life, to tell you the truth. And the guys really respected me after that. And just giving them the old wink, watch this, right?
Yeah. Well, another guy that you fought that the folks will know that went on to have the NHL career, Todd Fedoruk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was just a big fucking guy, man. He just solid as shit. So we just kind of collided behind the net one game. And, I think what happened a lot in PG is that when I used to hit people, the fans would go berserk. And it triggers a lot in people and in myself. And it ensues a fight right away. So we threw a few. And it wasn't too good of a fight. It was just one of those throw a couple and hopefully you don't get hit by a hammer, and that was it. So,
well, I'll ask you about one last fight here from that year, and it's a guy that he was in Calgary for a bunch of years. Ryan Anders.
Oh, Anders. Oh, yeah. Huh. How do you spell his last name?
A-N-D-R-E-S. Andres.
Ah, right.
Ryan Andres. Right. Yeah.
I remember that guy, yeah. I'm kind of thinking, because he was a big guy too, eh?
Yeah.
I had a hard time against those tall fuckers, I'll tell you. But, you know, you gotta get under their arm and start punching them from the side, because if they string you out, you're fucked, right?
So somebody said you always want to get in and make sure to get their arm bent. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always like to just kind of crouch down, just like, just like Tyson used to do, man. You just go down and over and then try and grab to the side and then start throwing them on the side where they're a little unbalanced. You kind of do a bit of a domey spin in there and hopefully they don't get hold of you with their lengthy arms and fucking string you out. Good thing I've had to happen a few times where I was at the end of a shift and my coach is, don't do it, fucking you're tired, don't do it. Hell yeah. And one specific guy is Jacques Mayotte. Did you? Same guy that hit Tabojevic in the face there.
Yeah.
Fucking strung me out. Yeah, he strung me out one game there, man. That was brutal.
Oh, Mayotte was a bad dude, man. That guy played forever and fought everybody. He is that dude is unbelievable. But we'll get into old the mailman here. We'll talk about him shortly. But I was going to ask you, just as you said, you get down low in the Tyson thing. Just kind of off top. Well, when it came to, and that was the big thing back in the old WHL days, and even the SJ. Back then, you guys would always pop. It was kind of the deal. You pop your lids and square off. That was always kind of the thing. And you got to make it look good, right? You got to spin the helmet. You got to look cool and shit, right? Well, when you were squaring off, I always like to ask the guys this? Did you want to go at him, or did you rather that they come to you? What did you prefer?
Yeah, I preferred to go at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so I can get the best position in instead. I didn't play the defense card too often. I mostly went at it. I always just wanted to just get at it and get it done with and fucking just throw them. See who's toughest, man.
You weren't big on the wrestling.
Yeah, I wasn't big on the wrestling. No.
Did you do anything to your jerseys? Do you like wear a bigger jersey, or did you like that?
Yeah. I think they just automatically gave you a triple X.
Yeah, you were getting the goalie jersey no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, some guys would do Velcro up the side, or really puff it out where the elbow pads are, and all this, and no, I really wasn't about that. I seen a lot of guys taping their wrist up and all that. I didn't do any of that shit. I was just raw, man. I just fucking, just raw toughness of just fucking going at it. It didn't matter how big or you didn't want to, but if that's what needed to happen, I was on the team for that reason, and either you do your job or you do it somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, before we leave Prince George, one of the guys I was told to ask you about, and he went on and played in the East Coast League for a number of years, is Kiesman. Michael Kiesman.
Oh, Kieser. Yeah. I like Kiesman. He was a good friend of mine in Prince George, and a good player. Yeah, I wonder, do you know where he went and played? Or maybe University of Hockey, possibly.
No, he turned pro right away. He played in the East Coast League down in Pensacola and Peoria, and then his final year, he went over to the UK and played in Edinburgh for a year. Yeah.
No shit. All right. And now I know is he in Kelowna, I think, eh?
It says he's from Prince Rupert. Yeah, so.
Yeah, now, over the years, through Facebook, I believe the thing about at the end of the year, it put a lot of sour taste in a lot of guys' mouth. Like, these guys had to go to court, for me after the season and everything. It was a big deal, and guys really had a sour taste in their mouth after that situation. So,
well, okay, for those folks there that obviously the listeners, it was the year end party in Prince George is when you had a big, there was a big house, you got into a big, there was a big brawl at a house party.
Well, it wasn't so, yeah. It was a mini brawl, but what ended up happening is that it was just us, just the hockey guys. We were at a house at one of the billets place, and there was no one else was invited and no one else was allowed. So, I'm on the couch, making out with this chick. I don't know who. I was having a couple of beers and minding my own business, and I heard a commotion at the door, and these guys are just trying to enter the party and whatever, and I didn't think anything of it, and then these guys are persistent to get in, and so the guys came and got me, and they said I needed to deal with this situation, and these guys were just being ridiculous, and I started scrapping these guys, two guys, and ended out on the driveway and laid them out. And unfortunately, one of their girlfriends jumped in, and I accidentally hit her. And it was one of those moments where you just know you fucked up. And the thing was, is I knew her, and we talked and in the morning, and I was very apologetic, of course. And we agreed that it was an accident, of course, and I didn't do it on purpose. So, unfortunately, it got leaked, and she tried to go after me civilly for damages, and basically everything went sour from there. So it was just it was a really unfortunate accident, but I don't even know if I could say an accident because of what transpired. Anyways, that's a story.
Well, and now you said so, so that kind of definitely puts a damper on the end of the year. And you said the guys. Now, do you think the guys were mad at you?
No, the guys that I got in the scrap with.
No, like your teammates and stuff.
Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, they, I don't know. If I were to, I just thought that, the thing was, I'm the one that should be mad at them for getting me to solve problems that should have been solved by the rest of the team, is just close the frickin' door. And so I don't know. It was a sour subject for a lot of these guys, and it disrupted their season because they had to go on CC television to go to court for what was happening in my life there. So I don't know. I just thought that maybe the guys thought I was a little bit too crazy. That was what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Well, so that basically ends your tenure in Prince George.
Yeah.
Now, at this point over the summer, are you kind of, did like Dempsey and those, like in Prince George, they kind of tell you right away, like, yeah, you're done?
Yeah, they said, we have to let you go.
Okay, so at this point, now you're sitting there thinking, now what? Like, did you have any, Like, did you have any kind of irons in the fire, or were you just sort of sitting there hoping the phone rings?
Yeah, I was just a naive kid, just wondering what the fuck did I do. And I actually got traded to Moose Jaw.
Yep.
And Altura was there.
Yep.
That crazy bugger of a coach. He ended up getting fired, and then they canned me. And basically, at that point, I'm blackballed out of the Western League, you know, because of that. And, you know, so basically, knowing that, I get a call from Mullican, and he said, "Hey, these guys are hosting a Royal Bank Cup. You wanna join the club?" And Lutz is there, and you know, a bunch of guys, you know, a few guys from North Battleford. So, and to tell you the truth, they were paying pretty decent money for a junior guy, right? So,
yep.
I thought that was a great opportunity. So, so I jumped on board and came to the hockey team. But at that point, I was still not right in the head. So.
Yeah, so you end up in Yorkton with the Yorkton Terriers, and well, and that was the other thing, folks. Yeah, back then, Junior A. Yeah, you could. They don't like to talk about this stuff anymore, but yeah, boys can make some good money back then.
Exactly.
If the teams are paid, especially the Royal Bank teams. But yeah, like you said, Lutz was there, Devin Rask, Corey Rask, you know, Shane Lanigan.
Dennis Bastet was a goalie. He was good.
Yeah. And Steve Albrecht was there.
Albrecht, what's that fucking guy doing?
Yeah, there you go. Well, and another guy that played the role there in Yorkton for a number of years was Sean Skihar. And he went on to play minor leagues and played over in the UK in Belfast and stuff.
Right.
You know, but tough dude, man.
Tough dude.
Yeah. Well, so you play 13 games in Yorkton, and they were eventful. And we'll get into the story. You had 13. Well, hell, you know, 13 games. You had 8 points. So 13 games, eight points, 156 minutes in penalties. So you're doing a little bit of everything, rolling along. And then the rivalry with the Melville Millionaires and Dave Shields sets your career off in a different direction. And you end up being banned from junior hockey in Canada because of it. So we will set this up. So the game before, so Melville and Yorkton are the big rivalries in the SJHL. They're just down the highway from each other. It's been a huge rivalry. So the game before, there's a bit of a brawl, and you end up punching out Rob Montaigne, the Melville goalie.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, these guys are at me all game, like fucking at me, beaking me, right? Beaking me, just fucking getting under my skin, man. I'm just trying not to lose my mind, but I literally made me lose my mind. That's, I don't know how else to say it. I literally lost my mind, and the goalie, I knew the goalie. I mean, like I just was trying to lash out at anybody, anything. I mean, I was fighting the fucking people in the stands. It was mayhem. So that was the night before. So I got a gross misconduct. So I'm up on a 3 or 6 game suspension already. So I'm sitting in the stands, right?
Yes. So of course it's a home and home. So the next night, it was in Melville, right? That this happened with Shields, or was it in Yorkton?
The first game was in Melville. Yeah. When I tried to punch out the goalie there. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get suspended. So the next night we're in Yorkton. You're in street clothes, up in the crowd, and Dave Shields, Melville, solid player from Melville, but like you said, definitely a Barnaby type, right? Could really dirty, yeah. get you going.
Yeah.
He ends up getting into a fight with a guy, and it's like right yeah. with 5 minutes left in the third period or whatever. So he gets...
And just showboating. Fucking showboating. He didn't even win. He was just being a cocky fuck like himself, right?
Yep. Yeah. And he gets booted out, and yeah. you decide to meet him in the dressing room in street clothes.
Yeah, I can't even tell you what I was thinking or why or what. I literally just wanted to do some damage to this guy. And so, yeah, I met him in the hallway right when he was going to go into the room. And I mean, I'll tell you, the look on his face, he knew something was going to go down. And I started giving it to him. And then we ended up in his dress room. And he just was pleading for his life, is basically what was happening. And the trainer heard some screams and came in and was like, what the fuck is going on? Because he's bleeding all over the place. And I just kind of bolted out of there. I put on some different street clothes, a different dress shirt from another player, and acted like nothing happened. My knuckles are all beat up and everyone's freaking out. The whole team is trying to get to our side. It was quite the mayhem. And to tell you the truth, again, bringing up Mulligan there, he took me to Regina that night because he's like, dude, you're in some trouble this time. And at that time I was still up on three assault and batteries. I mean, I was not in good sorts. I still haven't, figured out this court from Prince George yet. So, turns out, you know, Shields' dad apparently is a lawyer or a judge or something, but he didn't end up charging me, thank God. And I moved on from there.
Well, and so you get the phone call from, was it Wayne Cartouche, the commissioner of the SJHL. How did that phone call go? Did he just like, you know, or it basically it's just like, yeah, you're done. Like he wasn't, did he even bother with an explanation? Like listen to your story? Did he just say that's it? Yeah.
No, they didn't say much. It was pretty self-explanatory. Like, dude, you really fucked up and good luck, but you can't play in Canada. You're suspended out of Canada for life. And to tell you the truth, so years down the road, I go and play for Dawson Creek, and Gene Odchick is there, and Fleury for the Horse Lake team,
yep.
So, yeah, Horse Lake. And they tried to say that I wasn't allowed to play in Canada. So before the game started, they're trying to say that I'm not allowed to play. It was quite entertaining, man, because you got, and then Sasha Lakovic was on the team. I mean, you know, these guys are some pretty serious dudes, and they're trying to say that I couldn't play. So I thought that was pretty cool.
There you go.
But I ended up playing, so whatever happened there, I don't know.
But, so basically, yeah, so your junior career comes to an end in a blaze of glory. And so now at this point, it's like, okay, well, like, I guess, were you thinking about turning pro? Anyway, like, was that always the plan, or was it just sort of like, okay, I don't know what to do now?
Yeah, it was, bro, I would say it's all of the above. You always have these high hopes of, you know, playing pro hockey, whatever that looks like. But now I'm pressured into what am I going to do? I didn't even think about that at that point. But now, now to tell you the truth, just like that guy, I don't know. He was a junior player. He was this big guy, and he started beating the snot out of all those guys on the ice. And everyone was like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And turns out all the pro teams wanted him. Well, the same thing happened to me. So I thought, you know, all right, well, guess I'm going to be working at the mill for the rest of my life. But it actually turned out that the word got out, and all these pro teams loved that.
Yeah.
That I was that crazy. So that it worked to my advantage. So then I had a handful of teams that I could have went to, and I picked I picked Anchorage, Alaska. And the reason why I did, because Wade Bloodbank, Brookbank was up there, and I heard his name, and Shane Zimmer was up there. So I knew these guys, so I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to go up there because I know the names, and I love the idea that we're in Anchorage, Alaska, man. I mean, just absolutely amazing fans. It reminded me of Prince George, eh?
Yep. Well,
So Walt Bedomini was the coach, and that guy was cool as hell, man. He took me under his wing, and we would, you know, I would be on the ice for 1 or 2 hours after practice every day with him. And you'd be showing me the ropes and doing all sorts of things.
Yeah, well, and it's like, and you guys had, you know, so you're up in the old West Coast Hockey League, and you, like you said, you got Walt Podubny, you're up there in Anchorage, and, you know, you got, like you said, you got Wade Brookbank up there, and Zimmer, and, you know, Keith Street and Dean Larson.
Keith Street.
And,
Yeah, Larson.
Derek Gauthier.
Gauthier.
Dean Trbojevic and old Turbo and you know.
Yeah, Turbo.
Well, and of course one of the famous incidents, again, if you go on YouTube and look up Trbojevic there and Jacques Mayotte had a rivalry going with Fresno.
Yeah.
And as you said, the game earlier, Mayotte had knocked out Trbojevic's teeth, correct?
Yeah, cross-checked him in the teeth. And he was just going in for a hit. You know what I mean? Like, he was just going to hit him, and he just fucking cross-checked him in the mouth. It was brutal.
So, of course, then the next time you guys play him, that's when Trbojevic attempts to spear Mayotte in the face, and the video is out there, and which led to criminal charges and a night in jail. And, well, I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah. So, alrighty. Jacques Mayotte. Oh, you should have seen this guy, man. I tell you. Leather face, you knew. He probably fucking went probert a bunch of times, I bet, in his career. Anyways, he cross-checks Trbojevic in the face, and he's got to leave the game because he's got severe, I knocked out 6 of his teeth. And so there was no penalty on the play, so Walt Bedomini leans over and says, go do something stupid, Peacock. And I jumped the bench, and it was this perfect timing where one of their lead scorers was doing a loop, we're looking for the puck, and you know those plastic elbow pads, man, they're lethal. Hopefully they change those nowadays, but he was coming around, and I just popped him with my elbow right straight in the jaw, and he was knocked out for at least 5 minutes. It was a little scary, I gotta say. The fans were ecstatic off the start, and then people started to panic a bit, right? So they got the stretcher out, and he finally came to, and the fans are booing him, and he's fingering everybody, and not too much not too many other things happened in that game, but I got suspended the whole year against that team so they wouldn't start any shit, right? So we go back to Fresno, and I'm sitting in the stands, and Tabojevich is trying to pick a fight with this guy, Mayotte, and he just wouldn't go on, you know, like, give him some respect. You knocked his teeth out, let him try and knock yours out. And so he's at him, and he finally cross-checks him in the face. And he's pissed at this point, and that he wouldn't scrap him. And I think he tried to spear him in the face. Is that what happened? I thought he tried to two-hand him in the face, but that was another instance. So he tried to spear him in the face. And, he got arrested. And that was our last game on that California leg. So we went back to Anchorage, and he came back. And the next game, the fans threw, now, I don't know the exact amount, but it was pushing 30 grand of cash on the ice. And they had, and they ended up paying, you know, he paid for all his, the dental work and the plane ride from Fresno and a few other things. And then they gave the rest to the players. So it was a pretty amazing thing. And one thing that you may not know about Anchorage, Alaska back in the day is that there was a guy called Fishhead. I don't know if Brookbank talked about this guy, but he was allowed to bring bloody fish heads to the rink, and when we scored, he would throw them on the ice. So there's blood all over the ice, right? It was unreal, man. Unreal. I wonder if they do that now. I wouldn't imagine they're allowed, but boy, did that get the fans riled up.
Oh, I could imagine. Well, I was talking to a guy, Michael, out there. He was a longtime Anchorage fan. And he was pretty pumped when I told him I was going to get you on. And he was going to talk to the trainer, Andrew. Yeah. Was it Ferlano? Is that the trainer's name?
I don't remember, but I wouldn't say he was a midget, but he was a pretty short guy and just a great guy, man. The year before was Link Gates played there, and Link held him out the hotel room with his legs out the window. And that's why Link Gates got canned off the team, because he did that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What's with Lincoln trainers? He was down playing roller hockey, and he like got punched out a trainer down there too and got kicked off the team. Yeah. Gates is a BC guy. You ever run into Link? Have you ever met him?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Really?
Just the stories, man. Just the stories, man.
Yeah.
But I think he was not right in the head to begin with, and then he got in a bike accident, and it really fucked him up.
Oh, yeah. There's some stories there for sure. Well, in that West Coast League, man, that, again, there were some tough dudes in that league. I mean, you know, in Tacoma there, you had Chad Richard.
Richards, man. He was, my first game with Anchorage, we went to, he was playing for Tacoma, right?
Yep.
My first shift, man, I fucking run into this big guy. The guy was a fucking monster. And then I fucking threw my gloves off so fast, and I just was looking at this fucking guy, and he's like, yeah, right, kid, beat it. And so, and then he skated away. He wasn't giving me the time of fucking day.
Walt loved
that I did that. You know, it really showed some balls.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, like, well, and then in Colorado at Jason Simon, you know.
That was my first Gordie Howe hat trick, man. The reason why he scrapped me is because I hot dogged after a fucking breakaway. Fake shot, backhand, forehand, shelf. I couldn't fucking believe it. I practiced that in practice every fucking day, and it finally worked out. And I tell you, I was hot dogging it, and he fucking grabbed a hold of me for sure.
Well, one name that I have to ask you about, and he played in San Diego, and he put up a million penalty minutes, was Chad Wagner.
Oh, yeah. Wagner, man. Fuck, yeah, he was tough. I didn't scrap him, but I ran him one time and in Alaska, and I don't know why he didn't grab a hold of me, but I fucking ran him and just, boom, just ran him into the boards. And I don't know if he wasn't into fucking fighting that game or something, but, and that was as close as I came with that guy. But then I trained with him a little bit in Calgary. And he was a pretty cool guy, man.
I'd love to get him on the show. He's kind of gone missing in action. No one knows where he is, but...
Is that right?
Well, I mean, I think he's in Calgary, but he's just one of those low-profile guys. Like, he's not on Facebook or anything. He's just kind of, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I'd love to get him on the... If you're out there listening, Chad, I'd love to get you on the show. Get a hold of me. Yeah. But Fresno, like you said, not only did they have Mayotte, they also had Greg Spenrath, the Viking.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'll tell you what else they had in San Diego is cheerleaders.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
That was cool, man.
They had quite the setup in San Diego. It's no wonder they won all those championships.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was the coolest thing, man. Cheerleaders, what?
You're going to get that in Prince George. when you... you had mentioned that you actually fought Mayotte. How did that go? Because that dude's like a legend, man. Like, you talk about, people talk about the Mount Rushmore. That guy's on the Mount Rushmore of minor league fighters. Because that dude did it forever. Yeah.
I don't tell it too often because he fucking worked me. So here's a story leading up to it. Yes. So me and Brookbank, we whooped it up that night, man. We went to a house party. And we didn't get home till I don't even think we slept. We were whooping it up all night. So we were both hungover and I didn't play much. And coach lines me up with Mayotte the fucking end of the game. They played this on the bus after the game 100 times over. So you could see me on the video turning to him and saying, "Don't try anything, old balls." I said to him, as soon as that fucking puck dropped, man, he just grabbed me and just do. Fuck it. I didn't have nothing. He got me a couple of good ones, nothing too serious, but he just fucking worked me and Wolf Dummy just thought it was fucking hilarious. He goes, "What did you say to him, man?" And I told the guys, and fuck, it was the funniest freaking thing. Instead of being like, "You speed bag," they go, "Oh, okay, yeah, no, you deserve that."
Well, I was going to say, he did that to a lot of people. So yeah, there's no shame in losing to friggin' Jacques Mayotte, but,
Exactly.
Well, you guys, like Wade said, he said, ask him about the hit that he put on the Finnish guy in Fresno. So that's the one you were talking about. What do you say? Living above the, in the hotel, above the bar, you know?
Oh, man. Are you asking, did Bookie say to ask me something?
No, he was just saying, he goes, "Yeah, I remember him knocking out the Finnish guy there in Fresno." He goes, "Oh, what a hit." Then he goes, "Oh, yeah, and living in the hotel above the bar." He goes, "Wild times with the peacock."
Oh, it was, man. Yeah, so, you know, all the rookies were in the hotel that the owner owned. And I'll tell you, I was always, we were always having to listen to karaoke. The bar down was right below us. Coach, you know, the owner could have put us in better fucking rooms. He just put us in rooms where you couldn't sleep till 3 a.m. But yeah, we pretty funny times.
So I mean, you had a pretty good, obviously your first pro year, you got Podubny there in Brookbank, you're having a good time. And following that season, you know, you kind of actually, you only play 8 games, like you play in Phoenix and then Oklahoma for a little bit. Kind of what happened? You just didn't go back to Anchorage for any particular reason or just?
Well, I thought, all right, I did pretty good. I'm back on track. I'm gonna go try out in the East Coast. You know, I think if anyone's gonna make it, you're gonna make it out of the East Coast. In my mind, what I was thinking. So I went to try out in Birmingham.
Yep.
And what a shithole that place is. Holy fuck. So not only was I uncomfortable about the city and just the people and how hot it was, I had major cramping, and I couldn't play. I just cramped up to the point where I just couldn't skate. I no matter what I did, fucking did, man, I couldn't get to the point where I could skate. My lactic acid just built up so much after. So anyways, I you know, they dished me off there, and I kind of and then I went to Phoenix. They gave me a chance there. Fuck, I was doing really good. I fought I think Trombley, one of fucking real tough guy, and had a good go at him, and they liked that, and I was playing good. And this is the year where I believe the lockout was, so all the guys were stepping down. So after a while, they called me and said, sorry to do this to you, dude, but you know, some of these guys have two-way contracts, and you're out of here. Trying to think of where I went. I think maybe
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, and guess who was there? Brookbank.
Yep.
He's the one. I'm pretty sure he put in a good word for me there too, man. And Sauter was the coach. And
yep.
That's a real life piece of shit, but you know, a very successful coach and how he did things and everything. I just, me and him did not see eye to eye. And so I wasn't there very long. And after that, I think I ended up in Florida, in Cape Canaveral, in, it's called the Space Coast. Have you heard of this?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it was some overage junior league. And I went and played with a buddy of mine, and it was mayhem. Lots of booze and drugs and being ridiculous, carrying on, and, you know, not paying too much attention to hockey, just mostly girls and that sort of thing. So, you know, I didn't get ahead very, very good in that instance. Now the timelines are a little iffy with when I went there and then, you know, kind of was a suitcase for a while there. And
all I've got, so that's 99-2000 is Phoenix and Oklahoma, and that's it. And then the following season, 2000-2001, you're in Tulsa for 9 games.
Oh, and you're, no shit.
And then you go to Austin in the Western Pro League.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Austin, Texas. Man, it was so hot there, bro. how a person gets settled. So when I went and tried out there, we had to skate around. They stopped the play every 5 minutes. They would stop the game, and we'd all have to get out and skate around because the fog was so thick. It was, it was just so hot. You can't play hockey down there properly, man. It's just too fucking hot. So I just was uncomfortable. I couldn't get my legs. You're uncomfortable. You're already uncomfortable in that situation, and then you add the heat and your guy's diet wasn't very good back then, so you didn't really know how to maneuver through that. So, anyways, that's my excuse. And other than that, they dished me off from there, and you start to get a sour taste in your mouth. And to tell you the truth, with those leagues, man, is there's a lot of booze and drugs that I had no idea about, and I got to mention it because it's brutal. It's you wouldn't think that happens in the pro leagues, but that's exactly what happens. And the guys that can maneuver through it and play, hungover and that sort of thing, those are the guys that stick around. But I wasn't able to do that. It was either one or the other. So,
Well, so at that point, after your Tulsa and you're done then, are you just at that point in your life, it's, it's early 2001, 2002, and you're just done with hockey at that point? Well, clearly, because you didn't play again, but it's just mentally, yeah. It was just, I'm done with this.
Yeah, you get to the point where, you've lost your edge is basically what happened with me.
Yep.
So, you've created an ego, and you try and hold on to that as much as possible, and over time you lose it, and then who are you then? You're just another player that is trying to make a name for himself, but it's too late at that point. So I lost my edge, and I knew it, and that's where, I was like, all right, it's time to hang him up. But I also, my mom is German, so I wanted to see if I could do the dual citizenship thing. Yep. And see if I could get over to Germany. So I did try, and I did try to get that going, but it didn't work out for me, unfortunately. But I did make an effort, but not a big enough effort to make it happen. So that's basically where I was at with it. And I got to mention one other thing about Anchorage, Alaska, is Walt, he was always like, hey, man, the fans love you. When you start fighting, you got to come up with something. So I would mess my hair up and then point at my hair and throw my hockey gloves up as high as possible. The fans loved that shit. And then they sold peacock wigs when I had hair.
Awesome.
Siamese wigs, yeah.
Well, that's, especially in the minors, man, those fans love the tough guys for sure. And, I imagine in Anchorage, yeah, you and Wade would have been the two guys for sure.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty cool time in my life, man. That's for sure. It's just, there's lots of whys in the road, and a lot of times I took the wrong one, and it's really too bad. I wish I would have had more of a mentor in my life to maybe say, hey, maybe that's not the best idea to pull that shit there, peacock, slower down. But, them are the breaks, man. That's my story. And
well, it's and unfortunately, it was like, that's the thing, right? They always want you to go to the edge.
But the problem is you went over it a couple times, and then you know, and that's unfortunate. Like you said, when you know, you do that a couple times, you get that label put on you. You know, your shelf life isn't going to be long. But I know we'll you know, we'll get into this, and it you know, so that's your hockey career, and thank you very much for sharing the stories and you know, in your journey. But of course now we have life after hockey.
Thanks for reaching out, bro, and another guy that actually got a hold of me is Chad Nicholson there, that shout out to him, that he you know, led me down this path of finding fourth line voice as well. So,
well, I appreciate it. And Chad, I have talked to Chad. Chad, you need to get, he won't come on the show, man. I've tried to talk him into it a bunch of times. Chad, you need to come on the show. But yeah, I talked to you about off air about this. I want to share this with your journey, of course, after hockey. And I've, you know, in Calgary, and then you're back home now. But, unfortunately you had an accident. And can you share that with the people? Because I know Wade and them didn't know about it when I was telling them, and so
right,
yeah,
yeah. So 2019 December 23rd, I got in a snowmobile accident, and it was at a private lake in Kamloops of all places, and I was just took my sled out for a rip. We were just going to go ice fishing, and my sled got out of control. The lake collapsed because of the cooling and it being warm and cooling. It just created a pocket in the ice. So my sled went into the ice and dug in. And I don't know if you know what it's called when you whiskey throttle something, and it's mostly on a motorbike, but you can do that on a sled as well. And I goosed it full throttle, and then this snowmobile started flipping, and it flipped me out on about the second roll, and my head, I wasn't wearing a helmet because I was just taking it easy. So I went flying through the air, and my head went through the ice, and I ripped my ears off, and I suffered a stroke. I broke my neck in C5, C6, and collapsed lung, and what else happened, man? I hundreds of stitches, 30 staples in my head, and they were able to sew my ears back on and get me all figured out. But I have a spinal cord injury, and they call it a quadriplegic, and I'm now in a chair, man. And you know, I thought I was tough back then. Well, this is the toughest thing I've ever had to do in my life, and it humbles your soul when you have to sit in this and overcome mentally what has happened to you. And you know, I was having a pretty good life up till that point, so that's what happened to me. I spent a year in the hospital, and I'm back home now, and just trying to get my shit back together. And I also just have some chronic back pain, and so I have a stand up chair, which is awesome. So I stand up a lot because I can't stand sitting down. I don't know why more people in chairs don't want to stand and be eye level with people, but that's my journey with going through this. That I have a stand up chair, and I hope to get into a exoskeleton suit. Have you heard of this?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, bro. So, so they've now came out with a self-leveling autonomous exoskeleton where you basically walk like the old RoboCop. So I'm hoping to do that in the future and actually walk around like a robot is what I'm working towards, to tell you the truth. So
well, that's good. That's good, man. And it's, I'm glad that you're making the steps. And, cause I mean, well, like we were talking off air, like just, you know, mental, I can't put into mentally how to deal with that. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, obviously, you know, traumatic like that. And then, you know, to battle back from that. How has that journey been mentally? Like, where are you right now in terms of, you know, looking at it now?
Well, you know, it's a roller coaster, bro. You know, to be completely honest, I've tried suicide once and, you know, it's a tough go, man. You really mentally have to, overcome this, in your mind, body, and spirit, because it goes a lot deeper than just the physical thing. And I'm good now. You know what I mean?
Good.
I just
Excellent.
Had to go through all the motions. Yeah,
you
got to go through all the shit, man.
Yep.
And just like, let's say, you know what, bro? What I could chalk it up to is that when you quit hockey and you're done with it and you go, yeah, I got to go through all the emotions, you know, was it my fault? Was it someone else's fault? Could I have done this better? Do I want to live like this? There's so much involved and you got to go through it all. And once you start to, figure out that you know, you're here and you're going to make the best of what you got here. And I've had some pretty amazing support from my hometown, Enderby, here. They've just been amazing and raising money for me and just being there. Everyone's just been amazing. So props to my hometown, Enderby, British Columbia.
That's good to hear. Yeah, and like we were talking, I was mentioned to you earlier, you know, I've had him on the show, and he's an old dub guy, old Saskatchewan boy, Les Borsheim, and he played in the Western League a little after you did, and he's a tough guy in the minors, and he had a motorcycle accident, and he's in a wheelchair now, and you were saying I need to connect you two, because I think, you know, it would be...
Yep.
I think it'd be really positive. He does play by play for the Colorado Eagles now in the American League and down in Colorado there. Cause he was playing for the Colorado Eagles at the time when the accident happened and he lives down there. And, yeah. So, I mean, I know he's gone through a lot too. And, yeah, I think it'd be cool for you two to hook up. Cause I mean, you have so much in common, right? And it's, you know, from the hockey and everything else. So yeah, I think, you know, we will do that. I'll get you in touch. But,
yeah, that'd be cool, bro. You know, I appreciate that. I actually, now that you mentioned his name in Colorado there, I seen that accident and that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, the steps he's taken, and I mean, he's always putting videos online and of his, you know, the rehab and everything else, and you know, it's inspirational what Les is doing, and I think you two, yeah, definitely could get talking for sure. But well, I'm glad that you know, the hometown there is supporting you, and you're you know, you're looking to. You know, move on and move forward and keep going. That's good to hear. It's positive.
Hey, man, I'm sure if I didn't have the hockey fundamentals to get through this through hockey, I mean, I think hockey was a big part of of me being able to get through this part, you know. So I do thank hockey in a lot of different ways, where before I would blame hockey for a lot of my troubles in life, but it turns out, you know, it did so many amazing things, and it really is a great sport if you're dialed in and ready to put your life into it.
Well, yeah, and it's just, you know, like you said, that just that mental toughness it takes to succeed, and then the physical battles and everything else. It takes a unique individual, right? Special. If it was easy, everyone could do it. So it's, you know, and not many can. So, and you were, and but man, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story. And I know, just even briefly on Facebook here today, we kind of, oh, Richard Peacock's coming on the show, and it's already getting a bunch of comments. I know my notifications as we were talking here, I can see him, my phone's dinging away here. So, I know the people are going to be excited to hear the show. So, Richard, I want to thank you for taking the time tonight to come on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, bro. Right on, man.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?